If you could touch the alien sand and hear the cries of strange birds and watch them wheel in another sky, would that satisfy you? Or would you rather listen to the Doctor Who podcast?
And welcome to another special live edition of the Doctor Who podcast. Once again, you have the cream of the DWP camper van with you today. Ian.
Hello.
Phil.
Hello.
And Scott, are you going to say hello?
Yeah. Hi.
How about that? Absolute class. Lovely. Right, we've just seen the Celestial Toy Maker, the animated version. I hesitate to use the word animated because compared to other Doctor Who animations, it is extremely different. And to me, it feels more like Toy Story. I'm not quite sure whether you can call that animated. But yeah, lots of anticipation around this release. No one had seen it before, apart from the trailer that was released, what seems like months ago now. So before I say what I thought of it, let's come to you, Phil. What did you think?
Well, I've got to say that the bar, I think, was very low expectation-wise for this one. I've only ever seen episode 4 of this story. I've not listened to any surviving audio, so I come into this almost completely blind. I got used to the animation come the end. And I think it actually helped the story, because I think if I've seen it in its original incarnation, watching wooden sets and people leaping from block to block and everything, I think it would have been a pretty dull viewing experience. So I think this actually sort of gave it a little something extra, and I actually rather enjoyed it.
Yeah, you sound surprised.
I'm very surprised, yes.
Well, I'm glad. Ian, what did you think?
Much the same as Phil, to be honest with you. Again, not a story that I was particularly familiar with. I hadn't listened to any of the audios or anything like that. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, the animation was quite different. I quite liked the animation. I thought it was much more lively than the sort of flat 2D that we've done for so many of them in the past. And it really brought it to life, especially because it is quite a fantastical story. The story itself is quite ambitious. It's got some really great ideas. And you strongly suspect that they couldn't realise them in 60s studio technology. And I've seen episode 4, and it looks, it's a bunch of people, you know, with wooden boxes in a studio, and it really doesn't sell the story they're trying to sell. And this does. You know, comparing the hopscotch game from the filmed version with this, this was much more exciting, much more interesting. I mean, it still drags a bit in places, it's still a bit flat, but that's because the story was and the audio was, and there's only so much you can do. But no, it was enjoyable. I enjoyed watching it. Peter's face looked a bit odd, but you know, you get used to it and you get the hang of it, and I thought it worked really well.
I really enjoyed it as well. And bearing in mind when we've reviewed other Doctor Who animations, I always say I can't tell the difference between different styles of animation. Well, there's no saying that about the Celestial Toy Maker. This is not just different. This is different in capital letters. They described it in the build-up as experimental. I think if this was an experiment, it was largely successful. And I agree with you, Ian. I think the visuals that we've just seen are much more interesting than the original footage. Even though 3 of the 4 episodes are missing still. Yeah. I too have seen episode 4, The Celestial Toy Room, I think it was, episode 4, fairly recently, and was also dragged down with its drudgery and boring visuals. But I thought that was really, really good. I very much hope that they continue to experiment. It's nice to freshen things up occasionally, and I very much look forward to watching that at home. Okay, well, let's go to the most important person who is here today. Scott, you are 10 or 11? Remind me. 11. Okay, so from an 11-year-old perspective, seeing something that was made before your dad was born, what did you think?
I thought it was really good.
What did you enjoy about it the most?
Probably the same as what they both said, just the visuals and everything about the animation is really good compared to other ones.
And what did you think about the actual story? Was the story interesting for you?
Meh, not the best one I've watched.
This is your second animation, isn't it? You saw The Underwater Menace last time. Did you prefer that one to this one?
I think I both like them equally, but I feel like it is different. There's a big difference between both of the animation styles.
Yeah.
Because this one's gone from more 3D and the other one's more of a 2D style. So.
And do you prefer one over the other?
No, not really.
Both equally as dull.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, for me, I've always had an affection for this particular story. I think it was one of the very first Target books I read, written by Jerry Davis, and I had absolutely no idea about the story when I read it then, and it felt very, very sci-fi. Justin described it as a fantasy. Yeah. I'm still not sure I go with that. It has a fantasy element to it, certainly, but I would suggest this is probably the hardest sci-fi Doctor Who got in Hartnell's era, possibly the whole of the 60s. But I think the animation and the story, it all came together, and it was a really enjoyable hour and a half. But
it's a hugely ambitious story. The plot of it is very ambitious. And obviously we don't know what episodes 1 to 3 looked like, but knowing what episode 4 looked like, I imagine not brilliant. And things like the in episode 1, where they're doing the sort of the course and the erasing the clown, and in this they're going in three dimensions. Gravity is changing direction. It looks really weird and trippy and amazing, and sells that whole, you know, fantasy land in a way that the original just wouldn't have been able to do. And I think that they're achieving what the original writer probably wanted to do, but could never have achieved. A little bit like when they do, you know, your new Dalek flying saucer, and they're, you know, living up to what they wanted to do, but technology wouldn't have done them. But writ large across the entire story, which is a bold choice, and, you know, purists will complain. But I think if you actually want anyone other than the purists to watch it and enjoy it, this is the way to do it.
I think it was ambitious back in the day, and there are telesnaps that exist of episodes 1 to 3, quite a number of them. And some of those images that you probably recognise instantaneously, that of Dodo and Stephen, are iconic, really, and they're taken from the Celestial Toymaker. Everyone knows what Cyril looks like, even though, yes, he appears predominantly in episode 4, but he does also appear in episode 2 as a playing card.
And there's that sleepy chef in episode 3.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the images the book paints are very striking. So this has always stood out for me, even though it has been, you know, considered to be quite a boring, old, ambitious story. But I really enjoyed it. Anything else, Phil?
Well, no, just to say, I like the fact that they actually made it look more like a toy room. All the characters look like toys, which obviously they probably couldn't have done sort of back in the 1960s. You just actors with a bit of makeup on, and that was it, really. But I like the playing card, the Hart family. I thought that was really well done. You know, sort of like that sort of strange, sort of made out of cardboard kind of characters they were. And quite a... I've never seen, you know, any of the telly snaps or heard any of the audio before. There's quite a sinister family willing to sacrifice sort of the Joker into one of those chairs, which looked quite good, I thought, today, and animated. I liked to see what it was like back in the 1960s and when it was shown on the television, sort of how they achieved any kind of sort of threat from just a few chairs.
Well, it was musical chairs, essentially, deadly musical chairs. And I remember the narration on the audio that was released many, many times bigged up the peril on the fact that you could sit down and that would be it. You know, it was quite deadly chairs.
Unless you're Dodo, who can somehow get out of it again anyway, which rather underplayed the threat when in the resolution.
Yes. Yeah, the frozen chair, indeed. Yeah, but overall, I thought the whole story was very unique. I still can't think of another story that has got that much in common with it. Someone mentioned the Mind Robber, only because of the mythical, fictional elements of it all. And I think I understand why the modern day production team wanted to go back to this particular character and this particular idea, because it is creepy as well. And I think that manifested itself really clearly with Cyril's death in episode 4. Wasn't that quite gruesome?
It was.
Yeah,
I know people sort of laughed at it in the audience today, but I thought, you see his crispy remains.
Yeah,
they applauded it. They applauded what they did. I thought it actually gave a finale to the story that otherwise it a little bit flat towards the end.
Yeah, because I was trying to remember what it was like in the Hartnell, the 1960s version with that. He just seems to fall off and then you just never see him again.
Well, it's just a box on a studio floor, so he just falls to the floor. And it's,
yeah.
doesn't really do very much.
No, exactly. Here,
you know, it's much more dramatic.
Well, yeah. maybe this is a case, really, for making much more ambitious choices when animating 60s stories. I do very much look forward to reading comments online from those individuals who do like, or do expect, really, animations to be as close to a reproduction of the original story, right down to the different camera angles as possible, because this one didn't even attempt to do that.
I'm glad it didn't, to be honest. I think sometimes it's not always a good idea to slavishly follow all the stage directions as they were at the time. If you can make it as probably the writer originally intended, then I'll say go for it, really.
Yeah, variety is a spice of life, I agree. So
I'll be fascinated to see if they do this animation style again. This was actually quite technically advanced stuff. So they were using motion capture and real actors to animate the characters. And the thing that struck me is this style of animation is something you see all over kids' TV. So this is a normal animation style that you see in the industry. Whereas actually an awful lot of the Doctor Who animations that we've seen aren't. You know, that flat 2D paper style, nobody else does that.
No.
And if you think about how can we, in a sort of a cost-effective way, animate more of these? If you're leaning into a technology that the whole world is using, logically that should be cheaper and easier and more accessible to keep doing them than something that's completely bespoke to Doctor Who.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Although, having said that, I'm not quite sure I'd like to see the Daleks' Master Plan, you know, using the same technology. You know, it just kind of feels different. And I think the thing I take away from it is that they're looking at the story, deciding if there's a unique quality to the storytelling nature, and then adapting the animation accordingly. And I'm quite supportive of that.
I think you'd have to dial it down a touch. I mean, this did look quite cartoony. It did actually look a little bit like a kid's cartoon. And I think that works within the Celestial Toymaker.
Yeah,
you know, if they had the ability to put some extra dialogue in, you could almost sell it as being this was a feature of the toy room.
Yeah.
But I think if you dialed down the cartoonish nature a little bit, you could do more with this. And I think you could do other stories that are a little bit straighter and a bit more serious.
Hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I'm looking forward to seeing some more if they do decide to move forward in this direction. I hope they don't go back to the old sort of flash, it's not flash animation, it's Adobe, isn't it, they use for the 2D animation. So I hope they do find some other stories that fit this animation style.
I'd just like to see them experiment, and if they're going to tweak it again, and bearing in mind there's probably, what, three different teams now that animate these stories, so there you go. Anyway, we hope, listeners, you've enjoyed hearing our experiences of this afternoon's event at the British Film Institute. Lots of fun. Glad it's not raining again, gentlemen, now as I'm recording with you outside. And there was a remark made about the weather this morning, because it was incredibly rainy, being much more suitable to the Underwater Menace.
Yes,
that screening
was made earlier.
Yes, and I hope I've been able to relay that with as much wit and humour as it was made originally. Probably not. Anyway, Ian, Scott, Phil, thanks very much, and bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.